Evening.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Good evening. Welcome to another edition of Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Bilal Masabik Bynum. This is Blog Talk Radio, New Africa Business Association, Blog Talk Radio of Washington, D.C. Again, I am your host, Bilal Masabik Bynum. We welcome our audience. We have now that the tax bill has finally passed, we are going to be very specific on just what you can expect from the tax bill. We're going to give everyone a chance to get their self in order, give them a few minutes to call in before we bring on our specialists in these fields. Our special guest this evening that will be speaking to us and informing us is, of course, Ms. Gina Baker, who has a master's degree and over 40 years of experience in taxes and accounting services, along with an estate planning attorney, Ms. Shalora Williams, and she has about the same credentials, about 30 or 40 years as an estate planner, working with the probate and the probate's courts. And myself, Bilal Masabik Bynum, I am a financial planner. So between the three of us, we should be able to give you some very informative information as what is about to happen as far as the tax changes and just how it's going to affect, I suppose, everyone. So giving everyone just a few minutes, the call-in number for those who wish to participate with us this evening, you can certainly call in. Our call-in number is 657-383-1372. Again, for those of you who wish to participate in tonight's show, ask there any questions or what have you. The call-in number would be 657-383-1372. And so we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with our guest speaker for this evening.
When we played charade, we were like children posing, playing at games, acting out names, guessing the parts we played. Oh, what a hit we made. We came on next to closing, best on the bill, lovers until love left the masquerade. Fate seemed to pull the strings I turned, and you were gone. Far from a darkened wing, the music box played on. Sad little serenade, song of my heart's composing. I hear it still, I always will. Best on the bill, charade. Thank you. far from a darkened wing, the music box played on. That little serenade, song of my heart composing, I hear it still, I always will. Best on the bill,
welcome back to the New Africa Business Association blog radio of the Washington metropolitan area. Again, I am your host, Bilal Masadik Bynum. The cut that we just played and you was beautiful cut that I just played was by Mark Green of the Moments. And of course, Mark Green of the Moments, they all are members of the New Africa Business Association, saying that this is the New Year's celebrations. And if you Mark of the Moments are taking, will be more than happy to entertain at any special entertainment or celebrations that may be going on. To be able to get in touch with Mark Green of the Moments, just call the New Africa Business Association, or you can send us an email, and that'll be at nabassoc at gmail.com. nabassoc. I'll say it again. nabassoc at gmail.com. So you certainly will be able to get in touch with us and be able to listen to Mark Green and be able to use some of those. Our talent for your entertainment for the holiday seasons. But I don't want to waste any more time. I want to bring on our specialist again. That's Miss Gina Baker, and she's going to tell us how to, now that the Senate has passed the tax bill, we can be very specific on what you can expect your tax picture to look like. But without further ado, I am going to bring on now Ms. Gina Baker.
Hi, this is Gina Baker from Baker Financial Services. Yes, they have passed it, but a lot of things are still going to be a little sketchy until they iron everything out, so it won't be specific. Some things didn't change as far as between the House and the Senate. But far as the for individuals, for the tax brackets, that's the part where, you know, the Senate basically said that they wanted to have 7 brackets and the House only want to have 4. So I don't know how they're going to iron that out. And that's one of the biggest changes that's going to affect how much tax you pay and what you fall into. So I don't know if that really changed the grief as far as how that rate is going to be. But as far as the standard, I think both of them basically agreed on increasing standard deduction and for the single filer, for married filing jointly. There was an agreement on that to increase that. And in increasing that, that's going to probably reduce the number of people that they could itemize, which I think that was the goal they're trying to do. The elimination of the personal exemption, I think we'll have to agree on that. They've also agreed on increasing the child tax credit. So that they agreed on some increase in that. Right now, I think it's per child is going to go up. Trying to think of another area. Okay, as far as the Schedule A on the mortgage interest, the Senate still would let you deduct the mortgage interest up to $1 million. The House wanted to cap the loan limit at $500,000 for new mortgages, so it will be a cap on mortgages and the interest. So, I mean, not the interest itself, but when you take out a new mortgage. As far as the interest, they're letting you deduct the interest you pay on a mortgage up to a $1 million. As far as the state taxes, I think with the state taxes, they agreed to set a cap on personal property taxes. And I think they also did something with the medical deductions. They increased that 10%. So that's another change. And then the corporate tax, decreasing the corporate tax, but that's not going to take effect for 2019. So they decreased it, but they're not going to take effect for 2019. It won't even affect 2018. It'll be in effect. It's a lot to go through. I was just trying to highlight some of it. So I guess if anybody has any specific questions, I can try to answer those a little bit more specific.
Okay, the mics are open. Before I ask any questions, anyone have any questions for Ms. Baker? You can go right ahead and ask. I'm going to open the mics up to all of us at the same time. Any questions at this time for the accountant? All right, Ms. Baker, we maybe just have to share a little bit more information. My thing is, let's get into some of the things that you have discussed here. Let's be a little bit more specific. Now, you were saying the tax brackets. They're changing the tax brackets. Where the last time we were speculating, you were telling us they were running somewhere between 12, 25, and 33%. Is there any changes or is there anything that we should when you were saying it was going to what, seven different brackets, what specifically are we saying?
That's one of the areas that I said that they're still trying to work through, because they're saying that the Senate wants seven brackets, okay? And those seven brackets will range from 10 to 38.5%. The House wants only four brackets, and they want to range that from 12% to 39.6%. So with that part of it, I don't know if they came to a decision as to how that's going to look.
Okay, and like I said, we're going to have the mics open. I don't have to be the only one interjecting questions here. I'm going to have the mics open where if anyone have a question for the accountant, please feel free to go ahead and answer. Ask your questions.
I don't have a question. I've just joined you guys.
Okay. Let me introduce who just spoke. Attorney Williams just came on with us, and of course it's for the estate and probate. Anything to do with your probate and estate situation, Ms. Williams is on to help those who wish to ask questions on probate and estate planning. So, Ms. Williams, we welcome you. Now back to Ms. Baker. You was getting back to the tax brackets again. Let's say I don't really know my tax bracket, so I went in and let's say more or less on a 25% tax bracket, and I end up having to find out that I'm maybe at a 38%. What is my picture there?
Well, according to what it's right now, in order for you to be at 38%, you would have to be making over $500,000 a year. So they're capping it off at different incomes. But either way you look at it, it's still an entity that's where they started. Because right now, our individual tax code is 7 categories. It's 10, 15, 25, 28, 33, and 35, and 39.6. So if you look at where they're proposing it to be, we're starting out at with the House bill, it's only 4 categories. It's 12, 25, 35, and 39.6. So it's already an increase with the first. So, in looking at where the Senate wants to go, it's sort of kind of in the same line of where we are today. Some categories reduce, but some of them are the same. And it just depends on how they set out if we keep all 7.
Okay, all right. Again, anyone who has questions for the accountant, I got the mic open on everyone who's on the lines, and I know we have quite a few on the lines. So anyone who have a question, just like I'm asking, you can too. So we have the accountant and we have the attorney on the phone. Feel free to ask whatever questions you need to ask. Callers.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
The question I wanted to ask was kind of a two-parter. Is this bill kind of the danger of letting ideology drive policy, and are we looking at new norms going forward if the party that's in power says deficits don't matter and the one that is says, well, deficits don't matter unless it's something that I really want? So will we see new norms going forward as far as how the party that's in power, I guess, wields that power?
Ms. Williams or Ms. Baker, did you want to respond to that?
Well, if the ideology is give to the rich and make the poor pay for it, that's the new norm. That's to me, that's the new norm. Because this, if it took them 3 decades to change the other tax format, it's going to take a while to change this one. And it is already predicted that when Congress comes back after the holiday session, they have to start cutting spending down in order to make this plan work. So it's not just about trickle-down economics from the big business down to you and me who might work or buy from these big businesses. It's also, let's go back to the pot, go back to the budget, and let's cut out some of what they believe to be fat. So the Democrats are worried that Social Security, Medicaid, and other types of spending benefits like the like CHIPS, that's a child insurance fund, will not be funded or will be funded less because and they have to pay for this change. And the big people, those who are benefiting the most, will not pay for it. Those who are benefiting for the least will end up paying. I call it a new type of slavery, a financial slavery process.
Indeed.
Well, even though you might hear from Trump saying, okay, and some of the people on the Republican side saying, okay, you're going to have more money in your pocket, but even if you have that in your pocket, you have to probably have a bigger tax bill.
Right.
Right.
So
essentially, it's cut everything to the bone and then institute austerity to pay for the things that you cut to the bone. And at a certain point, okay, if you're an Apple executive, why would you invest all of the money into the economy as opposed to sitting down with your shareholders and having, what did they call it, appropriation day a few years back where they brought that, I think it was like, what was it, $150 billion or something crazy, came back and split that with the shit. Like, why would they not do that as opposed to dumping money into the economy like they tell us is going to happen to cause the growth?
Well, politicians tell you that's what's going to happen. Businesses, they're not telling you that's going to happen. In fact, they just announced that AT&T has decided to give $1,000 to its employees, and it's going to bring $1 billion worth of jobs into the U.S. Well, I would say that too. I would say that too because regardless of how many they give $1,000 to their employees, you're going to pay for it. And they're going to give big bonuses, dividends to their investors. But we're going to pay for it. And whatever you reach, whatever benefits you get for the next 5 years, or I guess 10 years, you will see that it'll stop. So if you can deduct X, X will not be able to be deducted again. So just think about this. I used to be able to deduct my property tax. I can deduct my property tax, but in X number of years from now, you will not be able to deduct it. And you have a note of, let's say, $4,000 a month, and let's say $500 a month goes to your property tax or your interest. You can't deduct over $10,000.
That's right.
So you won't know the impact of this until it hits you. And I'm still trying to find out, even though I can deduct some of my state, whatever I pay state and local tax, after I can't pay anymore, deduct that, do I still claim state and local refund as income?
Probably so, because if it's at a certain cap, then anybody that can itemize, I think you would probably get that same benefit. But see, what they're trying to do with raise standard deduction is to get less people to itemize.
That's right.
You have to do one or the other.
You cannot do both.
Yeah, but they're trying to, with them raising the standard deduction and also getting rid of your exemptions, they're just trying to get more people to use the standard. And then if you use the standard, you're probably going to pay more taxes.
Now, what I don't understand, Ms. Baker, is the meaning of the credit. So I've got a child credit of $1,400. Where do I put that credit? That's not a deduction.
No, a credit goes against the tax. Credit usually goes against your tax liability. It's not money back in your pocket.
Right.
A credit goes against your tax liability. So they will, the child tax credit, they are increasing that.
Right.
So that will go against your tax liability. You know, so it's not really money back in your pocket per se, but it's just reducing it.
Can you believe that the Congress fought over whether or not classroom teachers would be able to deduct a great $250 for items that they buy in it for their classes?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they've increased that too. They increased the teachers' deduction for buying supplies from $500. That's the Senate bill. The House wanted to eliminate it. But
right.
The Senate said, well, let's increase it. See, that's what I'm saying. Everything has still got to be ironed out because they're saying they passed the bill, but which bill did you pass? You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Exactly. And they were not mentioned what three areas violated their own regulations. And they had to send back to the it's changing back and forth every day.
Well, I can see on some of the things that I mentioned that they did agree on. That's the ones we know that they on some of these things that's not agreeable, which one is it gonna be? And just like the medical expense was like 10% of your adjusted growth. They basically the Senate has decreased that to 7.5% of adjusted growth, but the House said they wanted to eliminate it. You see what I'm saying? So where are we? You know.
I don't even think the IRS will know where we are when this finishes up.
Well, whatever it is, it's not going to affect 2017 taxes. It's not going to affect that. It will affect starting January 1st, 2018, if something's passed.
Right.
But that's why I was saying in the last couple talk shows, it's just like you really have to pay attention to your 2017 taxes this year because it's going to change. We just don't know how. And because some things are agreed and some things are not agreed. So until we see the solid part of some of the things that have not been agreed on, then you're sort of kind of just speculating. But you got to really pay attention as to what is my tax rate this year.
Mm-hmm.
You got to
look
at 2017 taxes this year and look at that percentage and see where you are to go forward into 2018 so you can plan better.
Right.
No matter what the change is, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay,
with how partisan things are right now, like when the middle and lower class breaks in this sunset, are we going to see a huge swath of America think that the newly elected Dems or whoever's in power raise their taxes? Because people kind of live in echo chambers now and only listen to their own side. So does this fight even set up from 5 to 10 years from now when, you know, that rate goes back up?
Well, what I think they'll do is they'll blame the Democrats for the cut in spending. Because I think in 2018, Democrats will get more seats for Democrats.
Because you look at the Democrats didn't have much to fight against whatever they're trying to do now. So that's why I'm saying I don't know what they're saying is signed or what's going to be signed, because I'm thinking the Democrats is going to come and some of this stuff that's not decided will get decided.
Right. And the fact of the matter is you have to cut spending in order to pay for this tax form. So it'll, once it's passed into law, it has to be paid for. But whoever's in Congress, they have to do something with the spending. They're going to make some. They're going to make some cuts in the spending.
Yeah, but it's like and just like you said, with the businesses, even though they say they're going to decrease the corporate tax rate, the House is saying, well, you can't do it until 2019. So that's a whole nother year, 2 years.
Right.
So which one is it? The Senate said this. The House said this. Okay. Everybody wants to decrease it 20%. They agree on the 20%, but when are we going to do it?
Well, not only that, if you notice, and I know that people can't get the whole bill, which will become law, and read it because it's so huge. But if you realize, if you understand it, that people have voted on something that they really have not read. Maybe the staff people have read parts of this bill, but they have not read this bill. That's why, when they talk about the pluses and the minuses, you hear the exact same thing over and over and over again. But you don't know the impact because people have not yet read it.
Only because Republicans are trying to sell the American people.
That's right.
They're trying to sell us on whatever they're doing. But that's why I'm saying the American people, you need to actually look at this, your 2017 taxes, because it will change in 2017 once they decide something. But the change of it is that, and the reality of it is that it's most likely that your taxes is going to go up. I don't see where they're saying people are going to have money in your pocket. Usually when you have money in your pocket, you have money in your pocket to spend on discretionary income where you can spend it the way you want, travel or whatever you want. Some of this money that they say you're going to have, you're going to have to pay taxes.
Okay. Ms. Baker and Ms. Williams, both again, this is Bynum. We got about another half an hour. I really want to hit now on some of the real highlights, some of the things that could be almost detrimental as far as this bill is concerned. And I know one of them is Medicare, Medicaid, and the Obama's health care bill. These insurance premiums, I don't think anyone has any idea as to how much these premiums are getting ready to go up. And where is this liability? How is one going to be able to pay for these liabilities, especially when you can't even deduct some of these high tax? And I'm telling you, it's going to be some very expensive medical bills. Speak something on this, if you guys would.
Okay. Well. Here's the problem with that. The problem is you don't actually know until it starts. But the fact of the matter is this: the medical bills we weren't able to qualify. It was based on how much income you had, and when you had the Obama program to give health care to at least 12 to 20 million people more, the problem became that all the states didn't buy into that program, and the premiums were going up anyway. They were going up anyway. Now they're going to skyrocket because people aren't going to be in the program. They're just not going to be in it, and they're not going to pay for it, and the state's not going to pay for it. And the federal government is not going to help the states for paying for it. So I don't know where that is. I know.
So what about catastrophic conditions, pre-existing conditions? Folks, I mean, I can understand someone who can qualify for a plan, but now that the Obama's protection is not there, those, you know, we got a lot of diabetics and a lot of folks who are just on really critical conditions. And I've been in this insurance business a long time, and the insurance companies just don't want certain folks, and they're not going to have certain folks in their program. I don't care how much money you got.
That's a good question. That's a very good question. I just believe that the part of the problem is going to be that when we talk about the medical program, it's just you're not going to be able to do anything. You won't be able to afford it. One, if they cut Medicaid or Medicare, your monthly allowances may go down because you may have to increase in paying for your own prescription. But we don't know that
So you're saying some of these folks with low incomes may not have our insurance at all.
That's what I think.
Well, that's what it's going to end up doing. A lot of people it's not going to have insurance.
They're already talking about scrapping the individual mandate part. That's the part that's out. They haven't got to the other measures yet. They're still arguing on that. But no matter what, if you remove sick people from the pool, well, if you remove healthy people from the pool because they don't have to buy insurance, then the pool gets thicker and the pool gets shallower. Therefore, the prices are going to go up. And this goes back to that statement they always made. Access to health care. So there'll be access to health care. You just won't be able to afford to get it. So it's cutting both ways. And it's not just going to hit the poor. It's going to hit the middle and, you know, lower tier class of folks in America, too. So that individual mandate, which was a, you know, Republican idea, Heritage Foundation idea, now they've made it into the thing to demonize, but that was the only thing holding it together as a pay for it.
On top of having a weak Democratic group, those guys are just so weak. But I don't think they know what to do. I don't think they know what to do. They're still trying to figure out how to make this work out, and the Republicans aren't going to work anything out with them. So we have a debt, and we're not going to pay for this debt. Your grandchildren are going to pay for this debt. This is a financial slavery process. You're going to be enslaved again. Those who were enslaved built this country.
And the whole pot of health insurance is a trickle down effect anyway. It's sort of kind of like Social Security. It's like you have to have enough in the pot to cover everything.
Right. Yeah, and put yourself on the side of their desk. Who do you want to sign up? The people who are going to pay premiums and might get sick, or for the most part aren't going to get sick, or somebody who you know something bad is going to happen and you're going to be paying out. So of course, this is kind of the shuffling out process without being mean about it. It's just, hey, there's nothing I can do. You know, that kind of customer service approach to it.
Well, the whole idea.
Don't go see them. We should establish it. Another dimension. Here's now. Geico could maybe have this iconic.
Are you still there?
Geico.
Okay.
Thank you, everybody, very much. And these are the people right behind me. They've worked so long, so hard.
I think you are going in and out.
Yeah.
I believe we had a trumper playing some background stuff.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, I got the mics open as to where we all can speak at the same time. I'm not trying to put anybody on mute and miss any callers. So realize that we all are speaking at the same time. So sort of get yourself into the conversation and without interrupting the others, but see if we can all share our comments the best way we can, because it's important that we hear from everyone. We're concerned about all of our listeners on what's going on here. So again, if you have some questions or comments, don't wait. Try to get your calls in. I know I have a lot of callers, and some of you may think that I'm speaking out of turn, but we'll work it out one way or the other. But at the same time, if you do have a question or a comment, I suggest you go ahead and bring it to our attention as we speak right now. Callers.
Okay, there's a point that we got to look at as far as this tax bill. It says, like, you know, today you are allowed $4,000 per exemption for yourself, your spouse, and each of your dependents. Now, that is going to disappear. That's eliminated. So
right.
Now, so if that is eliminated, if I have there's four of us and I got $16,000 that I could use to take away my tax liability, what does the standard $24,000 do if I have more than four kids? I mean, at some point, I lose out.
Right, because
I lose out.
Because that section of the tax form was to reduce your adjusted gross income. You had two things in there to adjust it down. You had the standard or the itemized, it was one or the other, and you had the exemptions. They're taking away the exemptions. So if they take away the exemptions, you already know your taxable liability is going to be higher.
Right, right.
Right.
It's just,
it's higher. Now you're going to pay more taxes. It's only logical. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
It's only logical
right.
If they take that big chunk away. That's $16,000.
Not only
if you take that away, of course I'm going to pay more taxes because I can't subtract it out.
I have not looked at. I've not yet looked at the final. Well, there's no final. But on the business side of it, on the small business, they swear that the small business people will benefit. I've not seen that yet because they really haven't talked about that. Congress has only talked about individual and family. They have not talked about those partnerships.
Talked about it a little bit where they're looking at decreasing the amount the small businesses pay, because the small businesses, if you're scheduled, you're an S corp, or if you're a partnership, those whatever profit or loss flows through your personal income. So they call those as pass through income. So
right.
what they're doing is that rate, whatever they charge you, whatever they put on that profit that you made, they're
right.
decreasing that amount.
You said they're decreasing your income.
So businesses will get a decrease. It's still going to pass through your income, but you're going to get a decrease on that amount, on that profit.
Which means you will not be, you will not pass it, you will not pass, get credit for the same, it'll go up or down. Sometimes I'm not hearing it. Decreasing it which way? Am I benefit or against me?
Well, you're going to benefit because if you're decreasing that tax rate that they charge you, that they're charging now, you're going to benefit because you're not going to be, once you bring that tax liability through your personal, it will be less.
Okay, how does this thing, if you don't mind, the AMT, a lot of people don't understand what the alternative minimum tax is.
I think the House or something, I'm trying to think which one wanted to get rid of it, but the other one wants to keep it. They need to keep it. The Senate
mm-hmm.
wants to keep it. The House wanted to get rid
of
it.
I think the final version keeps it.
Yeah.
But should a person implement it if they can benefit from using it for the deduction?
I mean, of course they would keep it because they're charging you more taxes on higher income, so they're getting money.
Okay. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. We're going to deal with one of our sponsors, but we'll be right back after a quick sponsor break.
Bideman Associates Financial Planning and Insurance. Immediate annuities. Retirees, roll over your 401ks, TSPs, and pension plans into an immediate annuity. It will pay you a monthly income for life guaranteed. please contact me for a free income quote today. At Vineman Associates, we'll professionally mind your business. Visit us online at www.vinemanassociatesinsurance.com or give us a call at 202-288-5660 or 301-234-9090.
Okay, and welcome back to the New Africa Business Association. Those of you who are participating with us this evening, again, we welcome you. Our guest this evening is Miss Gina Baker. She is an MBA, over 40 years of experience. She has her own accounting firm. And also Miss Shalora Williams, who is an estate professional estate planner, dealing with estate planning and the probate courts. So any questions that you have for any of these professionals, and of course myself, Bilal Masadiq Bynum, I am a certified a financial planner. So between the three of us, we should be able to help you with some of the questions that you may have. Ms. Baker and Ms. Bynum, Ms. Baker and Ms. Williams, would you please give us information as to how one can get in touch with you before we get into the late evening? So those who have questions, ongoing questions, they'll know how to get in touch with professionals who can help them.
Go ahead, Ms. Baker.
I'm Gina Baker. My website is www.bakerfinancialservices.com. I can be reached at 301-332-6015.
I'm Shalora Williams, and you can reach me on 301-341-5577. I'm located in Largo, Maryland, at 1450 Mercantile Lane, Suite 155. The zip code is 20774.
Okay. And also, I want to any questions from our audience? Again, we have our attorneys and our accountants on the phone along with myself. One of the questions that I want to ask Ms. Baker, and that's going back to we know when it comes to the standard deductions, we only got those standard deductions. Look like itemized deductions is almost out of the question. But when it comes to retirement plans, IRAs, how is that handled under standard deductions?
Standard deduction is just the amount that basically they give you on the tax return. As far as your IRAs and SEPs and stuff like that, they really haven't said anything about those particular items.
Well, I'm saying I know the SEPs and stuff like that would be for the business person, but also all employees qualify for an IRA. I'm just wondering now, how would that be applied to you? Do you have to itemize to write off the IRA, or is that a part of your standard deductions?
No, that wasn't even on your, as far as writing off your retirement, that was on page one of the tax return. That don't have anything to do with standard deductions.
Well, I think that would only, if you pulled funds out, or if you transferred funds or made it from an IRA to a 401k and pulled it out.
Well, if you pull it out, it adds it to it. But if you also were able to deduct it, that's still on page one of your 1040.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Your deductions and all those things that that you get to deduct is on page two of your 1040. So, far as the IRS and things like that, I haven't seen where they were trying to change any of that.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
You know,
again, I see where that would be the same as far as a business person, but it's still the individual who can only now take a standard deduction. and they also have a qualified IRA. I was wondering how, with the new tax system, would that IRA be? How would that IRA lower your taxes for those who have the qualified IRAs?
It would lower your adjusted gross income because it's on page one.
So it just lowers the amount that you would be paying then. It's not so
it
much money to return.
It lowers your adjusted income. That's your W-2 income and your business income. It would lower that income.
And possibly lower your tax liability.
The standard deduction lowers your tax liability.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Yes, okay, I see the picture. Again, anyone who have any questions, now is the time to ask. We have these professionals on the line. It's not costing you a dime, and you're getting information that would be pretty hard to get if we wasn't speaking to you over the phone like this. Any questions for our call for our professionals here? Okay, Ms. Baker and Ms. Williams, we've got about 10 more minutes. If you guys wish to just summarize summarize from here, and then I will go into a close and after your comments.
Okay. I honestly think, as Ms. Baker has pointed out, over and over and over again, two things. One, that if you are worried about your taxes, if you've never filed taxes before this year, file this year's taxes. Take a look at those taxes and do not lose your forms. And sit down and talk with your tax preparer so that you have an understanding of where you are today for this year. And then next year, you have to sit down with your tax preparer to make sure you understand your impact. Because nobody will understand the impact until the forms come out.
Right. Because basically the forms are going to be created and the software has got to be created.
That's right. That's right.
So that's why it's very important for the consumer, for the people to actually look at where you are, because you'll never file taxes like this again, okay?
Right.
Okay, so it's going to change, so you might as well know where you are so you know where you got to go.
Okay, well, ladies, we definitely appreciate what you've did for the last 3 weeks. The information that you have shared with us, I know I had many, many emails asking questions. And again, Ms. Baker and Ms. Williams will give you their numbers before we sign out this evening. I also want to see if some of our other guests was on the phone. Again, Imam Mookman, are you with us down in Mississippi?
Oh, is he?
Hello, Brother Mookman, are you with us? Okay, I think some of our guests have signed off. But one of the things, Ms. Baker, I did want to ask before you left, that is about the charitable contributions. We haven't talked about the charitable contributions. Tell me about the charitable contributions and how that's being deducted.
That's on your Schedule A. That would be for items H. They haven't said anything about it, so therefore the rules are the same. So the rules will be the same unless they decide to do something with the contribution on that Schedule A.
I think that you can go to... Now, there's a website that's gives you at least a beginning to a conversation on preliminary details and analysis of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. That's the whole, that's the name of this thing. Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. And just go to taxfoundation.org, and there are probably a website that can give you some direction. But we have to read this over and over and over again to understand it. It's not that, it's not going to be that simple.
Again, well, I am going to... No, go right ahead, Ms. Baker. Go right ahead.
Well, it's not going to affect you until next year anyway, but as soon as January 1st hit here, which is in a couple of weeks.
That's right.
We, after the holiday, we'll have more detail as to really what it's going to look like. Okay, so
now,
that's why I think we'll come back in 2018 and it'll be more solid.
That's right. And the one thing, it's going to be completely different than what we're used to now. That's all we understand that. It's going to be completely different.
It's going to be completely different. That's why I'm saying pay attention to your tax returns this year.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Ladies, I want both of you to sort of comment on what I'm about to bring. George Bush and his administration said that and the same thing the Trump administration, this tax bill is saying by cutting taxes, it will increase a cash flow with large corporations. And this large cash flow will be paid back into a business growth that would create new jobs and, of course, would have a large cash flow back into the communities. Now, as of before this tax bill was passed, the stock market at the beginning of this month went to 2,500 points. It has never been that high in its history. We have the largest cash flow ever in our history. Money's going to back into the stock market, and money's going into paying dividends. The president, now, this is already happening in this country. How is this package, whatever is being proposed in this tax bill, how is it going to stimulate our market that is already in a good stimulus position?
Because it's not designed to stimulate our market. It's designed to give a few people a lot of money. And with this president, it's M-O-N-E. That's it for him and his friends. It's not to give us money. Trickle-down economics has shown not to work. And in Reagan's time, when Reagan implemented it, people were not making, were not in these high tax brackets as they are now, because they weren't making a lot of money. Because if you cut the taxes, that stimulated the economy to a point, because the situation was completely different in the economy.
So you're absolutely right, Ms. Williams. I just wanted to, of course, it's a picture that we at the New Africa Business Association is merely trying to paint. I do not see how this bill, as a financial planner, I don't see how this bill can affect anyone other than those who are in large incomes. If you could bring my tax bracket down from about 38% to 21%, boy, I've already saved a lot. So again, any comments from you, from the professionals that we spoke to, Ms. Williams, Ms. Baker, thanks so much for your time. Please give us information how we can continue to get in touch with you before we leave. Again.
Ms. Baker.
Okay. Gina Baker. I'm Baker Financial Services. I'm located outside of Atlanta, Georgia. My number is 301-332-6015. Website is Baker Financial Services. It's abbreviated SVCS.com.
And I am Shalor Williams, and you can reach me on 301-341-5577. And if you have a question, you can also email me on sacw@verizon.net. That's sacw@verizon.net. If you want to send questions to me that we can answer over the broadcast, I'd be more than happy to do so.
So, again, thanks so much for your time. And this is Bilal Bynum with the New Africa Business Association. We will see you again next Wednesday. Every Wednesday from 7 to 8 p.m. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.